Broadcasting 2.0 for October 20th, 2023, episode 151, One Big Table. Well, hello. It's Friday. That must mean it's time for another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We are the only boardroom that is not available on YouTube. We'll give you all the latest lowdown on modern podcasting, everything happening with the podcast namespace, whatever we got going on at podcastindex.org, and of course, all the happenings at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, and in Alabama, the man who knows the lyrics to a song for every modern buzzword. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Look.
Yes, look. Look. Look.
Look. Hairy legs. Look. I can claim rookie status in podcasting.
Yes. What are you saying? What are you going to say?
This, I mean, three times in a row. It's, that's not an Adam Curry quality product.
It's been a rough week. I took Tina to the airport yesterday, San Antonio. She and six girlfriends are now in Bryce Canyon.
I knew that Tina was gone. I knew that before we even started the show.
Okay. Well, that's interesting because so here's what happened. So I take her Wednesday. Traffic is horrendous. So it takes me 4 hours to get there and back. And then, and I promised Kyron I would do the Mere Mortals podcast. And so that, I started that at 9 PM. So I got back, I literally stopped at Whataburger, jammed two Whataburgers down my throat.
It's keto, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Total keto. With some salad in between the buns. Okay. Whataburger I'd say is probably the most healthy of any type. I would still call that basically a restaurant and not fast food. It's a good company.
It's a fast-a-rant.
It's a fast-a-rant. Thank you.
Yes.
So I do that. And so now by the time we're done, it's like 11:30. I'm like, and I have the show the next day. So I'm up at, seven. I'm, doing my normal thing. And then I had promised, well, actually, it was very kind. A friend of mine had said, hey, why don't you, I'll make dinner over here. I got another guy coming over. He owns a winery. We'll watch the Astros versus the Rangers, which I guess,
this is something you do. You watch baseball,
which is, I guess, an important game.
I see where all the problems are starting now.
Yeah. Now the guy owns a winery. This is the international arms dealer and his friend who owns a very large, very famous winery here. So we had some really excellent wine. And then like, I'm home, and then it's Friday, and I got to do all this stuff because Tina's not here. So, you're right. I'm out of sorts. I'm sorry.
Kyron, you bastard. This is your fault.
It is a little bit. It was nice, though. It was fun to talk with Kyron. It'd been a while. I think it'd been a year, maybe. Last talked.
You did the V for V show, right?
No. Mere Mortals.
Oh, I thought you did Mere Mortals last time and V for V this time.
No,
but I must have them backwards.
No, I've not done V for V. I think it's only been Mere Mortals.
Oh, okay.
Which is fine.
It's still queued up for me. I haven't listened to it.
You mean the last from the last year? The last time I did it? Or this new one?
No, this new one. No, I listened to the last one. This new one, no.
Something amazing happened. I love it when this happens in the podcasting 2.0 band of vagabonds, because what else can we call ourselves?
You can't say gypsies anymore. What's the new word for that?
I wish I could. Yeah, gypsies is actually fine, but I know we'll get all kinds of problems with the gypsies.
I'm still unsure why that's been canceled out of the lexicon. But is that,
no, you can, I mean, say you can say gypsy. You can't say gyp.
You can't say
that was a gyp, because you're racist against gypsies.
It's a 2.0 band of gypsies. Okay.
Yeah, it's a band of gypsies. You know what's going to happen? Get some gypsies coming and mess me up.
Oh, Nathan G says Romani. Yeah. You're supposed to say Romani.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the appeal of gypsies.
Just, it's not as fun of a word.
Because I imagine John Spurlock, with like a big gold earring.
Nose ring, yeah.
Nose ring with a skull cap.
Silks, wearing silks.
With big, ballooning silk shirt.
Yes, a blouse.
A blouse, yes.
So just threw an idea out there about, which was inspired by a chat I had with Alex Gates about putting boostergrams into chapters dynamically. And I mean, here we are 1 week later, and it's running in all my shows.
It materialized out of the ether. Yes.
And it's working, and it even has cool things like top boost. I mean, this went so fast. I love you, John Spurlock. That was hilariously fast. Just so.
What a great term, hilariously fast. That tends to happen in this group. Things happen hilariously fast.
It's the reflex service, which immediately makes me think of flap, 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 flex, boom, 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 Duran Duran's the reflex. You don't remember the reflex? One. Duran Duran's reflex?
I don't think
the
so.
The reflex is a lonely child. He's waiting stairs. I'm just making up the lyrics here. and today, it's already an integration in Sovereign Feeds. So I don't even have to figure out what the podcast GUID is or the episode GUID.
It goes right in there like OP3.
Yeah, you just click on the, and if you don't have them in your value block, it'll add it to your value block.
What's going to happen is we're going to get so many redirects to enable services like this, that like in the enclosure URL, there's going to be like, it's going to start exceeding maximum URL length sizes in like, you know, host headers and stuff.
Well, this isn't on the MP3 file. This is only on the chapter file.
Yeah. Okay. Well, same thing. Same. Well, because I think it's a redirect. Right?
No. You grab it directly from him, and if you have an existing chapter JSON file, he sucks that in and he hands it all back on his reflex.io URL. So just one URL.
Yeah, but I think it's a redirect chain because he's got to know where the original was to do the pass through.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yes.
You bounced
right.
To him first.
You're right. Then, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Hey, it works. I can't. I mean, there's stuff going on. I saw Andrew Grummet working with Mark Void Zero on Coors headers. What exactly was that about?
Well, our feed, and I'm guessing it's all of the mp3.nashownotes.com feeds, all the stuff coming off your CDN. I'm assuming that they all suffer from lack of cores pre-flight check.
Andrew Grummet, by the way, Andrew Grummet, to have him in the group. Let me just tell you about Andrew Grummet.
Yeah, he's old school.
I mean, you know him, of course, but Andrew, he was one of the, if not the one of the first devs to show up after I put the iPodder script out and said, help. And he showed up, and that was the original iPodder Lemon, I think, is what he worked on. And that was a Windows app. You know, it was an application. We didn't have phones. It was executable. And, you know, it was with Andrew that we learned things like, it's not a good idea to download all items in a feed the minute you subscribe. I mean, this is literally the early days of podcasting. We had not even thought about that stuff.
And 20 years later, Apple Podcasts just fixed it.
Good work, boys.
It only
boys.
Took 20 years.
Yeah, good work.
No, I think Andrew, I think he was involved with EC2 for Poets. And he pops up every now and then.
Right. Yeah. And of course, he was employee number one, I think, at Podshow.
Oh, okay.
Brought him in right away. And he ran we did some fun stuff, man. We had
Is he at Google now? Is that?
I don't know where he is.
I thought he was at Google.
A lot of the Podshow people went to Plex. Well, not Plex. Plunk. Splunk. Splunk.
Splunk. The big data. The Gunk. Big data.
Yeah, Plunk. And I think a lot of them got pretty wealthy off of the IPO, because most of those folks got in before they IPO'd.
Splunk's a big deal.
Yeah, the Splunk people did well. And Andrew's just a good guy. He really is. We did some fun stuff. We did like the golden ticket. This was DAI before anyone even was thinking about it.
Except, that was him that coded that?
Yeah, except it wasn't an ad, but we'd put a golden ticket, which would be an insert, somewhere in the middle of a podcast, and it was only for, you know, like max 5 listeners. And so all of a sudden you hear, congratulations, you're a winner, you've got a golden ticket! And that would be inserted on the fly, and then that would be for a contest or some promotion. Which is a great use of inserting stuff instead
it's
of.
It's such a clever idea. I can't believe nobody's resurrected that and done it again.
Well, they have. They just use it for ads now.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, sure.
But as a contest promotion, yeah, it's fantastic. It was really fun to do that stuff. We did a lot of fun stuff until it just didn't get fun. And Andrew, I think he still hung in there after I left, which is amazing. Ooh. Yeah.
Well, that's when it gets really not fun. It's when people start bailing out at the top and you're still there.
Yeah.
That's not fun at all.
Well, we also got, I can't remember why, but probably this is investors, VC, you know, like, oh, you need a real techno guide. We got some former Mossad Israeli guy to be the technology lead.
Sweet.
And, you know, that was my first experience with all hands. What? We're doing it all hands. Stand up. What? Stand up. We're going to stand here in a circle and talk. Okay. All right.
And that, like this Silicon Valley terminology, half of it, I still don't understand. Stand up. I don't even know. I don't know what a stand up is. I see people use these terms all the time. Half the time, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, they literally just stand. It's I guess to keep the energy high, you all stand up and you go around. It's on Monday morning. It's not a good product. It's not good. It's not good to do this early on Monday morning.
And so you just call it the thing it is.
It's a stand up. Yeah, stand up, all hands. Okay. I'd fall asleep. I'm like, what?
Yes. But yeah, the Spurlock extravaganza with the chapters was great. He also did something very valuable that may have been missed.
Oh, I put it in the show notes.
The TLV matrix.
Yes, the breakdown of which apps send blip 10 TLV record fields and what they send.
Yes, this was a great idea.
Yeah, I put it in the show notes for everybody to go check it out. And there's some of y'all are deficient.
Yes. Just saying. We know who we are, don't we?
Even I know now who you are. I see you, Breeze, not sending a good. I see you.
Yeah, there's this was sorely needed, and I was trying to communicate this stuff individually to the app developers over the last, you know, couple months, and it was a better idea. I like the way he did it.
Oh, yeah, because now,
a matrix.
Yeah, now even I can shame people.
Yes. Now it can be public. Everybody can be embarrassed.
Who is the best? Let me see. I think CurioCaster has pretty much everything. And Fountain also pretty, CurioCaster and Castomatic are the only ones who have the reply custom key, which is cool. I mean, I can't use it anywhere yet. But I can just see, you know, give people a little bit of time with this Reflex service, and I think we'll come up with all kinds of cool ideas. I mean, right off the bat, I love the different colors for the boost amount and the boostagram. I'd like to know how I can set a picture on my avatar that shows up, because now I'm just like an empty head, which is, of course, true to my nature. But I'm, I like the top boost thing. That's a cool little extra he jammed in there. There's fun stuff.
I want to go look at your, I just want to see, I want to pull that URL up and see what it looks like.
It's some JSON, man. It's like JSON. It's some cool JSON. Some JSON.
Let's see, what show, I guess yesterday's No Agenda would have it in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Agenda.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to look at it and see what the structure of that.
Nice about it is, and I haven't, you know, I'm sure that an exact overlap may never happen, but the existing chapters that Dreb puts in, which he also puts in later, so it's kind of cool because it takes him a little bit to get the chapters and chapter images in, and while that's happening, chapters are being created with boostagrams, so it's very lively, and I think there was a good thread between him and James about what's the best way to refresh this for apps, which I have no business discussing, but I understand what it was about and I thought it was good. Trying to figure out, you know, do we do a no cache header or do something in a header? And James was talking about using an e-tag or something.
Yeah. The chat. Stephen B is saying we need an RSS identity for listeners. The avatar could be in the feed. Yeah, he was talking about that the other day, but then Harf had RSS Finger. Web Finger could play, that could be a role for that.
What this is where this is why we developed SOPML, Dave. What are you talking about?
I know, but Webfinger could be a good. I mean, that's already in play. I mean, ActivityPub made that a thing in mass.
Oh, okay. So its existing profiles could be pulled up. Yeah, I had an idea. Yeah. And this may be something you were thinking of. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, it's like whenever I hear the new media show. It's like I get so discouraged because they're talking about YouTube half the time. I realize that I'm kind of the same way. You know, I'll talk about Noster.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't want to go too deep, but can we reverse what's going on with this? So Noster, you know, it's no secret that there's a lot of like, who needs RSS? It's old school. It sucks. You know, relays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? Because the only thing that's great about Noster in my mind is it's literally your profile. Can't we tie profiles to feeds?
So I was thinking about this post by,
JB55.
JB55, yeah.
I have the post. You want me to read it?
Yes. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. This is the Damus developer. And we both saw it because I guess I saw someone has the Noster relay set up.
The bridge.
Yeah, the bridge. Yeah, the bridge. Yeah. And somehow I'm following this guy, so I see him. Thanks to some analysis from our intern at FO7EOB1A. According to Opt-in App Store Analytics, one of the biggest issues with Damus is user retention. 99% of people stop using Damus after 6 months. In the next version, we'll be looking at ways to get more users to that aha moment that gets them to stick around like all of us addicts. Ideas welcome. Notifications is obviously a big one, but maybe we could make it easier to get people their first sats. And then he follows up with an amazing revelation. And it's this. It's that it's mostly because people don't reach a moment where the app provides value for them. this is the developer saying this. I'm like, yes. Wow. Yes. There you go. And if you just read through the comment thread, it's very obvious that, well, a couple of things are obvious. One is it's like a fart sniffing circle. It's a Bitcoin thing mainly. Or at least that's what you see when you come in. And the other one is people kind of really expect an algo to give them all kinds of stuff and all kinds of dopamine hits right off the bat. And that's the opposite of what Noster does.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I don't know if you saw my reply.
Yes, I did. I did. I don't know if, does that work? Does the bridge go two ways?
It does. Yeah, it does go. Mm-hmm. It goes both ways. This was foreseeable, obviously. You're exactly right. It's that the lack of an algo makes the a lack of a dopamine hit and not a lot of people, you know, are there.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, there's all the normal problems. This is not immune to any of the network effect type issues that we always hit. But there's this overlap. I mean, the problems with getting people into Noster are the exact same problems as getting people into Bitcoin, because once you get there, you don't know what you're supposed to do with it.
Yes.
It's like, wow, I've got a lot of sats. Okay. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
Get more sats.
Mm-hmm. Like, stack sats.
Stag, hodl, you know. So
yes.
And so that's the same thing with Noster. So once you get there,
I think that's overvalued though by the Noster. It's cool, but I think it's also been crippled by the Apple App Store. I think the Zap thing is, I mean, it's overvalued by the network. That's not what people expect from a social network. In fact, they have the exact same issue RSS has, which you can call an issue or not, is discovery. You know, there's no discovery mechanism. The app can do that. I mean, that would mean Damus has to do all kinds of stuff to surface things, and people had a lot of really traditional good. I love the guy that says, you need to advertise on other social networks. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Well, you know, the thing here is that Zaps are not it. Zaps are not the aha moment. Zaps are not the big thing, because you can already do that other places. So the reason boosts are a big deal within podcasting 2.0 is because
you can't do it anywhere.
You can't, it didn't exist.
Right.
It's not native to the podcasting ecosystem.
Right.
To have a way to send a message back directly.
Yeah.
Attached, you know, scotch taped to to some money.
We're stuck with chewing gum, actually.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
A little bit of gum. Okay.
And that's not normal within podcasting. So it was an aha moment, because the podcasters, when they see that, they're like, whoa, this is crazy.
Right.
This is something that's not native to the protocol or the ecosystem. A zap sending a message. Well, that's what Nostr already does.
Yeah.
It already sends a message. Now you're attaching some money to it, but you could already do that with a Lightning invoice or something like that. With a QR code.
I don't think you can actually send a message, can you? Zap is just it's just a direct payment. I don't think there's an opportunity to put
a message. There's a payload field.
Oh, there is.
In URL. Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's not, I mean, it's like, well, okay. I mean, I can just post a QR code and get a Lightning payment. I mean, it's not revelatory.
Right.
In the way that that it was with
the podcasting. But even before Zaps, the big deal about Nostr was it's censorship resistant, mm-hmm. which arguably RSS is censorship resistant. The proof is in the pudding.
I would say RSS is more censorship resistant.
Oh, there you go.
Well, because you have less aggregation points.
Right. Yes.
Excuse me.
Yes.
You have more aggregation points within Nostr. Yes.
Yeah.
Because you have you really only have a few big relays.
And this is it's really interesting you say this, because this is exactly one of the problems I get. No matter what app I open, invariably it's not connecting to all the relays, and my follows, my subscriptions aren't the same. They change, right. And as I'm sitting there, I can see go, oh, now I have this many followers, and I have this many I'm following. Oh, we just went up again, because it's connecting to stuff. And that's kind of the opposite of what you want, and that's not what your podcast app does. Your podcast app says, here's your subscriptions.
And they've come up to this wall.
Yeah.
To this rock. And I had an idea of how to help them.
This was the tease you gave me yesterday.
So I've been thinking, you know, we've had this discussion about decentralizing the index even further. Mm-hmm. And I've been looking into and thinking through ways to do that. For a long time, I've wanted to do things over live P2P, and in that the DHT space within IPFS.
A DHT as in distributed hash space?
Yes.
Sexy.
So this is all that's all good and everything, but then I started thinking, you know, not wire level, but that's at a lower protocol level. Would it be interesting to extend the API beyond HTTP REST functionality into being speaking in the native distributed protocols? So what I mean is, like, if the API spoke ActivityPub,
mm-hmm.
or if the API spoke Nostr.
Wow.
And so that you could... These would be sort of like, I guess, to start with, they would be bots, maybe, or something like that, where you could query the index through this protocol, and what you get back. So let me just run through a possible interaction. So I mention in a post on Noster or Activity Pub, I mention the podcast index and I say something like, you know, I'm searching for such and such. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the most recent episode of Podcasting 2.0. Mm-hmm. And you get a reply with a bunch of links that will open in normal podcast apps.
Okay.
You get a link for Castomatic, a link for Podverse, a link for Podcast Guru, a link for Breeze. Basically, you can choose
your app of choice.
Yeah, you get deep links to the episode or whatever data is being requested. So that it's, 'cause here's the thing in my thinking is that, you know, Noster suffers from what happens to a lot of software projects where they feel like they're going to reinvent everything. And this is
right.
It is sucking a lot of attention and
good development resources
mm-hmm, and horsepower away from things things that are already working and working fine. And also, it's a distraction is what I'm saying. Mm. It is a distraction because the retention and all this stuff, all these things we know is a huge problem and it's not going to get any better. And this would be a way to sort of meet people where they are. And instead of, hey, let's reinvent podcasting on Noster.
Let's extend it to Noster,
extend it to ActivityPub. Mm. So that what you get is not playing a podcast in Noster, which let's all agree is going to be a horrible experience.
Yes.
It's going to suck.
Is this, so with ActivityPub, let's just take these two protocols. I mean, there's a couple more I can think of. Can we make it two way?
How so?
Well, it comes back to the one thing. If I send a boost, I'd like my profile picture to show up. So you can pull that in from ActivityPub or Webfinger or whatever it is. Mm. Right?
Possibly. Maybe. I mean, maybe. Well, you know, because then we're starting to... See, I guess the reason I'm hemming and hawing is my idea is really about like returning focus to actual podcasting mm-hmm. and podcast apps. You know, our core mission is podcast app developer
right.
support.
Right.
We support podcast app developers. I had a guy email me, a guy that we know email me over the weekend and saying, look, the Apple API is just having outage after outage. It's killing me.
Oh, really?
What? Yeah. No. And his service depends on it. And he's like, it's just wearing me out. And
wow. I was like,
yeah, yeah. He's like, it's a real problem. I'm thinking about switching over to, I'm thinking about switching over to the Index API, you know, just because I'm having so many reliability issues. And this is a money-making service for him. I don't think it's his full-time gig, but it is definitely a profitable side hustle.
Right.
And I was like, well, you know, we have this thing now. We have two endpoints where they mimic the Apple API.
Right.
And you can just
drop it right in. Yeah. Just change your DNS basically and you're good to go.
Yeah, you have one outage. You detect one outage on an API call to Apple.
Switch to us.
You switch to us for let's say a few minutes, then test it, and then try to flip back. You do a failover,
right?
And fail back,
right?
And he was like, "OMG!"
Whoa, you got an OMG?
OMG!
OMG!
And so he was like, "This is exactly what I needed," and like that's what we do. That's the kind of developer, podcast app developer support we do. So I'm thinking part of podcast app developer support is also running a little bit of interference and playing defense. So for when we see things coming along that are distracting everybody away from podcast apps to these other sort of wasteful side product, these wasteful distractions, mm-hmm. like let's reinvent podcasting on Noster. Mm-hmm. How about let's not do that?
Yeah. How about we, so, okay. So you're saying just make the API speak Noster native, and then you can, and in essence, then we have a whole universe of developers who can do podcast apps in Noster. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
No, I understand how you think that, that's what I was saying. But what I'm saying is like, we give back results in a way that always opens up the content in a real podcast app.
Ah, okay, good.
And it removes the need to do anything extra, to write any of extra. That stuff in Noster.
Right. Yeah.
And they can open it, like, if they're hardcore Bitcoin bros, they can open it up in Breeze or something, right. Which is fine. But we give back links to real apps.
Okay, I see what you're saying. And then, so the mechanism is you'd determine, okay, I have, this is my podcast app, and now when I want to get something, an episode, a podcast, or whatever the query is, it will then open mm-hmm. in the podcast app I already use.
Yeah.
That's so pretty that, deep, exactly. Actually. That's something that hasn't existed, I don't think.
Well,
it's always been OS dependent.
If we start communicating on that platform in that way, uh-huh. and make it easy for people to do that by these shareable links or whatever mm-hmm. that is, mm-hmm. it just gets rid of this desire to recreate podcasting on Noster, because there's no need. Mm-hmm. Everybody can use the RSS feeds that they're, all these Bitcoin podcasters, they all have RSS feeds.
Yeah.
As they should. And yeah. So rather than try to, I think it would be a relief to a lot of people over there to be able to just have their existing content open in existing apps, but make it easy for the platform to do that rather than having to do all this ridiculous development work.
I don't know if you'll remove that desire, but it would certainly help.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm afraid that they're going to try to go down this road. Cause that post made me think, oh, they're searching for a killer app. They're searching for the killer feature. And
they're going to come around to it.
It's going to be podcasting. And it's going to be 5 years of development work, and it's still going to suck. And still all the content's not going to be there. I just feel like this waste of time that's imminent, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to prevent it. And at the same time, you know, ActivityPub too, like, if we start thinking about these protocols, which there's not a lot of them. And we start thinking about these decentralized protocols, we could just make the index play nice with those, because the REST HTTP as an API language mm-hmm. is not, I mean, it's fine, but it's a hacky kludge too. These are all kludges. So why not have, you know, I just think we should go to where people are.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
I'm all in. Yeah. Rip it.
Okay.
Rip it. Definitely.
Okay. I will begin mapping that out, what that would look like. And I mean, we've already got, which by the way, the chat, the MK Ultra chat, you know, yeah. has been languishing.
Yes.
But it's fun, like the same chat room has been running for like, I don't know, 3 months. Yeah. I don't even know what's going on over there. They could be all kinds of porn and escort services over there. I have no idea.
The link I had is not a live session. So I guess that doesn't work anymore, but I don't know what the current MK Ultra chat is.
Oh, there's some Chinese in there. That's cool.
Really?
Yeah. I just clicked on the link. It looks like there's somebody's posting some Chinese.
Of course.
I don't know.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah. I'd probably need to get back to that. Anyway, we've already got some of the code for that. Mm-hmm. That could adapt the Noster part of the NK Ultra stuff to just start off by just creating a bot and have that be something that people can interact with to get.
So you can just query it and it'll hand it back.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
Okay, thanks. I'll start mapping it out.
Yeah.
Before you start,
I said before you start mapping it out, do we have all the remote item stuff on the table still?
Oh, of course not.
Okay. Because I'm a little more hot on that than anything.
I will start mapping that stuff out after I finish this.
Remote item.
So where I'm at with remote item is there's a new parameter that you can pass to the podcast by tag endpoint in the index to give you all of the RSS feeds that include a value time split.
Ooh, nice.
And so this is sort of a multi-phase approach here, because the number one need is for people to be able to find shows. Their number one need right now is for people to be able to find shows that reference other shows with a value time split.
Right.
Because that's how people are going to find shows like Booster Grand Ball, Lightning Thrashes, It's a Mood. This is the type of discovery that people need immediately. Michael over at Wavelake needs it.
Right. So I can find shows that have remote items that contain medium equals music.
That's part two.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So right now what it does is it just gives you a list of all the feeds that have a value time split at all. And then step two will be being able to begin to filter that to say, okay, I want shows with value time splits that also have this other quality about them. Like, so here's the issue. Here's an issue. The value time split can contain two different things. It can contain a direct value recipient tag with a key send address, or it can contain a remote item which references a different feed.
Right.
So right now, in the database right now, I've got one table, which is value time splits. And the value time splits are being pulled in with their timestamps and their durations and that kind of thing. And then what I had was two other tables. I had a value recipients table and a remote item table. Mm-hmm. I'm now rethinking that, because what I was going to do, just thinking as a database for a minute, you know, I'm thinking, okay, what we have is three unique objects, unique sort of structures here, or three unique objects. You have value time splits, value recipients, and remote items. What you kind of want to do, your tendency, as a database person, is to have three different three different repositories for those different item types, so that you can schema them. And then have relation links between those tables so that I can have, okay, value time split. This value time split references this remote item, but this other value time split references this value recipient.
Ooh, okay, I see. This is going to be great for the PWA I'm developing.
Yeah, this is why I'm telling you this, because you want this information.
Yes. Grummet, listen up. I have a feeling Grummet's going to pop out with a progressive web app. It's going to be like, what?
Yeah, out of nowhere. Yeah, yeah. He's going to blow it. Yeah. But I'm, you know, because it's elegant on paper doesn't mean it'll work.
Okay. Yeah. Well, database is voodoo.
To quote Captain Picard from Next Generation, you can make all the right decisions and still lose. So the issue here is that it becomes very difficult to track these things on subsequent runs to see if they're actually the same thing as what you had before. So if somebody had a remote, if there was a value time split and it contained a reference to a value recipient, and now on the next run of the aggregator, it's been changed by the podcaster to now contain a remote item reference. And they also put in, and they also, let's say they changed a duration slightly, maybe it's 1 second. It was unintentional. How do I know? It's not really possible to know that that's the same thing. This becomes very messy because there's no unique identifiers to any of this stuff in the feed. It's just the nature of RSS.
Right.
So I think the better option, and the reason I'm saying all this, because this is why it's taking me a while. I think the better option is to ditch that strategy and just put it all in a single table. Extend the value time splits table schema
to include the payment, the value information.
Oh yeah, to hold all possible data
mm-hmm.
that could possibly be in it, the children tags, everything. So that it's ugly looking. It's not as elegant as the other approach, but it also gives you, because you know the thinking with the other approach is that if two different podcasts referenced a remote item that was identical, you don't have to duplicate. You just have two pointers to the same data.
Right.
But this is just a mess. This is silliness. So I think I'm going to go in and I'm going to change this schema, and I'm just going to reset this back to, I'm going to do it the ugly way so that we get something that works better.
Something that actually functions. Yes.
Yes. It's ugly and works.
Yeah.
Which is better than beautiful and broken.
Yeah. It's basically like reading the feed in real time. Oh, okay. Here it is. I got you. Because of course we have lots of remote items or lots of feeds pointing to the same remote item. A lot of Ainsley Costello, for example.
Yeah. And the developer computer person in you is like, man, I don't want to duplicate that stuff.
No, I understand.
That's silly. We can do this the right way.
The way you're doing it is, that's the Adam Curry way. One big table in access, yes. In access database. Yeah. That's me.
And so anyway, so that's what's next. And once we do that, it'll be pretty simple. It'll go pretty quick. Next couple of days, I should have that finished.
Cool.
And then you can start to, then we can start to actually do some filtration on this stuff and say, okay, here's, cause right now it's just giving you the feeds back. What it needs to give you back is the feed and the value time split
mm-hmm.
data.
Right.
So that you can then say, okay, there's a piece of music that's being referenced. What should that, you know, what is that? And blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's where we're at with cool. that. We have something there so that people, if they want to depend and to start to find shows that reference other shows like Wavelake, go for it. I mean, that's there. Yeah. It's ready.
Quick plug for Ellen Beats. The radio tab now has 13 shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Homegrown Hits, It's a Mood, Mutton Meat and Music. that's Oystein Berger. It's very funny. Booster Graham Ball, Black Cat Music. Was it Black Cat Music Podcast? Phantom Power, Before the Schemes, Lightning Thrashes.
Phantom Power. That's a great name for a show.
Oh, well, Phantom. You know, that's Phantom Power Music Hour. That's the Costellos. Oops. Ooh. That's Julie and Jim.
That's a great name for a show. Name. I dig it. Yeah.
I had a long chat with them. Surprise.
anything you can talk about?
Or? Yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay.
So, you know, I've had several calls. I think a lot of people have had calls with Julie mm. And after,
I've never had a call with Julie.
Do you want one? Do you have it? Do you have an afternoon? I'm just busting on you, Julie. No, because, you know, there, I realized that there was this huge disconnect. A huge disconnect because they basically started at Wave Lake with no data. You know, they're only just now starting to understand the TLV records because they've never seen a boostergram from coming through Wave Lake, and all that will come, I'm sure. So there's all and there's all these presumptions like, oh well, you know, don't you see this? Don't you get it? No, I haven't seen this. Don't understand. And then there's just, you know, enthusiasm from so many different sides. Lots of enthusiasm. And that's really what it is. But the enthusiasm gets wrapped up in, you know, voltage saying, yeah, here's how you can do this and that. And like, what? And then you need liquidity. And like, what? And, you know, and all of a sudden, everyone's just really confused.
Yeah, they go down the lightning spiral. Yeah.
A little bit of the lightning spiral, you know, the long conversation. By the way, Sam Sethi, yes, it's working. I see you, bro.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's working. It's working. It's really working. I see the 10,000 sats. I see that your TLV record is beautiful. Let me see.
Sam, pour a glass of wine, brother.
Yeah. And Mustafa, I see your tests. It's all working. Yes, definitely. You know, Sam is trying to help them. And, you know, Sam, you know, PodFans is something different altogether, which luckily Sam wants to give us another demo. Yeah. Which is also always fun. We walk away from Sam's demos like, what did I just see? Like, there's a lot going on there. You know, because
there's 8,000 tags. Yes.
He's creating
tags we just mentioned in a show once years ago and never implemented.
It's there. So there's all this stuff that, but he's building a real platform for interaction, and it makes a lot of sense for artists. And so he's got all kinds of things integrated. But the basics, the real basics of how do we take existing artists who are in the existing system, which is not the system that I grew up with, and so they really gave me an education, and it was only 2 hours. It wasn't too bad. So they gave me, and you know, Jim sent over this huge. He sent over spreadsheets, and he says you got to understand that.
Sweet.
When it comes to with real world examples, you know, when it comes, so there's you have the writing of the song, the composition of the song, which, you know, lyrics itself can be 10 different people, and that's not uncommon in today's music business. Hey, I was in the room. Okay, you get a percentage. I think the joke in Nashville is, you write one word, you get a third of the song, something like that. It's that kind of stuff. But then there's the publishing side, which is an ownership of the song. And then you have the master. And with the master, there's so that's really someone who owns the product. And there's this recoupment that you need to have in play. So I paid for the studio time, so I need to receive, you know, my $1,000 off the top before anybody else gets something, except for the writer and the composer, writers and composers.
Okay, so you're saying that it's not just about who gets what percentages, it's about also about the order in which they get them.
Yes. And so, you know, they didn't have some basic knowledge of like, well, so not knowing that in a TLV record, in a payment, you can see what you receive, but also what the total amount was. This is a big deal. They didn't know that. And that's really, really cool because you don't have to come up with complicated, you know, smart. They were talking smart contracts and ETH. I'm like, okay, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Because you can, you know, yes, the recoupment. I said the easiest way to do it is if it's $1,000 off the top or whatever it is, give everybody a 1% split anyway. Recalculate that later because then everyone can see, oh, okay, this is what's coming in. Oh, we're almost at $1,000. So soon my split should change. I mean, it's literally that kind of stuff. But for me, just understanding how opaque, no, not even opaque, how black box Spotify, and then they have this master licensing collective, which Spotify also, or like, no, the distributors, which is DistroKid, and there's a whole bunch of other ones, and they take 15%, but then they a piece goes into this collective, and nobody knows exactly how that works. The reporting is very poor, and even on Spotify, they have a weighting system, as in W-E-I-G-H-T. So a stream for Ainsley Costello gets less money per stream than a stream for Taylor Swift, because, oh, you get it, don't you? It's Taylor Swift. I mean, that's literally how it's explained.
Oh, but there's no, like, it's...
You have no idea why. You have no idea why.
It's not contractual. It's like...
It's just whatever goes on inside their box. So we went through painstakingly, you know, okay, here's... Because what they want to do is they want to help artists... and they want them to have a good experience, and they want the best systems possible, and they want to, you know, I don't know if they want to be, I don't think they want to be, they want to be a services, you know, help people for a split in the block, I guess. And so, you know, from a traditional music perspective, and Ainsley Costello has another album that they want to put out, they have to go back and talk to everybody. Okay, here's how we'd like to do it. Because it's not going... Now, the good news is, no matter what they propose, everybody's going to be happy because they're going to get more money than they get currently from any system. So that's the good news. Yeah. So
that is more than zero is always more than
exactly,
zero.
Exactly. And then, you know, moving forward, some things probably have to change a little bit, you know, just to morph into a slicker system. But I'm very bullish on their knowledge now of where they're at and what they can do and bringing people in. And I think we have all the pieces in place. And what I stressed to them, and I said, look, I don't know how anything else is going to work. I don't know about putting music on your website. I don't know about Mash. I don't know about Zaps. I don't know how any of that works. The only thing I can tell you that I know works is people playing music in a podcast that's value for value enabled. That's it. And that's a system I'm very comfortable with because that's where I come from. Except in this case, instead of the radio station paying a blanket license to ASCAP and BMI to be able to play whatever song they want, and then ASCAP and BMI figuring out how many times a song was played or whatever, you know, and everywhere a song has been played, including it in bars and restaurants and all this, which, you know, they don't really have all the mechanisms. And then they make a calculation internally and say, okay, here's your cut. And guess what? You know, most of it goes to the established artists once again, because they probably got played more than you did. But in our case, we bypass all of that, and it goes directly from the person who's listening to the quote unquote radio show. And that's revolutionary. And it's very exciting to them.
Well, this brings up a good technical point. Michael from Wavelake emailed me and said, hey, I'm doing, you know, I'm working through how to calculate splits. And we know, you know, and he's like, you know, it could get messy. And we know this. I mean, we've had to explain split and the fee calculation, how all that stuff. We've had to explain that before, and it makes everybody want to, you know, go jump out a window. So I'm not going to do it again.
Good.
But he did have a good idea. He said, what if Podcast Index had either an API endpoint or something, which probably doesn't make sense for that, but has some sort of service where I can send you a split block and it will give, I can send you a split block and a sat amount for a boost, and it will do the calculation for me.
Make the calculation, hand it back to you. Oh,
with an explanation of what it did and why, so that developers can sort of test their code against the reference implementation of the calculation.
Idea. Yes, good idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So, but not necessarily something public. So you don't want apps to rely on it per se, but just as a or do you? I don't know. Do you want it to be a service?
You don't want them to send it in real time every time they do a split to try to, you know, it's not a service that they would need to rely on to make their split calculations. It would be a service that they would use to validate their own code.
Validator, yes.
That it's
yes.
splitting correctly.
Great idea. Yeah, split validator.
Yeah, great. Like Nathan, yeah, Nathan said, grade your homework. Yeah, that's right.
yeah, perfect.
Scratch paper, yes.
Great idea.
That's a great idea.
Great
because
idea.
One, it, and it will also help things be more transparent, too. So I can think, I'm thinking of it this, well, I was thinking through this morning, I'm like, okay, it could take a few different sets of inputs. Like you could give it a feed and say, okay, here's a feed. And if I sent 10,000 sats to episode 12 of this podcast,
right.
What should happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then we would say, okay, well, we would read the feed, do the calc and spit it back. Then, but if you say, okay, well, but here's some XML, here's my XML of just a value block.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, well, we'll take that. Here's some JSON of about, like, we can just take all the different ways that people want to feed it.
Yeah.
And just hand it back.
That's a great idea because it's very inconsistent amongst all the apps.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And people ask me, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I never understood it. I'm like, I get the concept. I can't do that. It's like, I don't know. That's fine. I don't know.
Yeah, go back to
sets go out,
14.
Sets come in. I don't know. yeah, that would be good. It would be good. Because it is documented. It's clearly documented, but still, it's hard. It's just,
yeah, and
it's
that's
just
what
one of
that's
those
what
things.
That's what he said. He said, I read the documentation and it's mostly clear, but I can see some edge cases in my mind already, and I just want to know how to handle it.
Mm, what's an edge case in his mind?
I don't know. He didn't mention it.
Oh, okay.
Probably, you know, I would think probably things like that we've run into before, like small amounts, you know, when people are like streaming.
Oh, right.
Five
right.
Sats
right.
A
right. Right.
Like
right. 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 I think those people, you should issue like a poison pill and their app blows up. Five sats a minute. Give me a break. What are you, cheap
that's
ass?
That's where we need the sucker.
The sucker.
To suck all their sats out. Like, you know, it's a penalty. Yeah, they go in the penalty box.
I do have a request though for the apps. If you have Lit implemented, oh please. I know it's not documented yet, and I know that it's just kind of it's Stephen B's split kit web thing, but I feel so bad when people are boosting these huge amounts for a song, but the only two apps that I'm aware of that do value time split in Lit mode is Curiocaster and the Split Kit. And so mm-hmm. people are sending me sats and they intend them to go to the artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's because I think that's because of the WebSocket stuff.
Yeah.
Because when doing a live show, I mean, the amount of sats is just, it supersedes everything. That's just a fact. You know, do a Lit show, your sats just, you know, you're stacking sats, man.
Yeah.
So I know it's not official. And sometimes I just forget and I say, oh, people are sending me stuff through Fountain. And it's not going to the artist.
Yeah, I'm thinking through this. We need a solution for this.
Podcast Guru apparently is working on it. Okay, cool.
Well, maybe Steven and Jason can figure out maybe they can document a spec.
Oh, that would be great.
Then we can just, you know, all vet it and adopt the spec, and then everybody can use it. I think that's what's going to have to happen. You're just going to have to have a way. It's just going to have to be a separate socket.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other way to do it.
And then plug for the split kit is finally now it all comes together. You can now record your podcast. I think Stephen B is even, I saw him experimenting with a hook for MRList, which is the playout system I use. He hasn't given me anything yet. But I know he's working on it. So now if you're a radio disc jockey and you want to do a value for value music show, you know, you have the split kit and you hook it up to Get Albee, you know, so that's all relatively simple. You can build your playlist of songs and you can then start your show. And apparently, in a not too distant future, when I hit the actual song and I hit play, it'll then activate that value block for the remote item for the song. You can search for all the songs in the split kit, and then when you're done, you can export it as you got your RSS feed. You can you can look up an existing RSS feed, and then it'll autofill everything for you, and then it'll poop out an RSS feed out of the back end, which has the value time splits, everything all in it, good to go. All you need basically is to replace that on your server, have a server, put your MP3 file, that's your RSS feed, and it's value for value, time split enabled, everything all in it. I think it might even add it to the index automatically. It's amazing.
Wow.
So for DJs who just want to do that, and I know that Dovidos is working on something similar at rssblue.com, but I haven't seen anything. But all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, this is the tool I need. So yeah. I go in here, I can look for all the songs, or I hear something, I write it down. Okay, I want this song. Boom, add it to the playlist. And then you add it to the playlist, and you can also download all those songs in one go, and they're right there. All the MP3s named properly, all the tags are in it. I mean,
God almighty.
This shortened up my prep time by an hour, which is what I always love.
I just hit the end point to see how many shows had value time split references in them, and there's 24 now.
Wow,
that's pretty big.
Yeah, I don't even know what let's see.
Well, I mean, it's gonna be picking up stuff like us too, you know, because like podcasting 2.0, because we play a song.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, that's beautiful. Curry and the Keeper. We played a song, put in the value time split, worked perfectly.
See, there's Podcast Idiot by Kevin Bay. It's a Mood. We know that one by Mike Newman. Button Meat and Music. Yep. Let's see who was. Oystenberger. There's Curry and the Keeper. There's it. I'm like spot checking this. Cool. Doing a sanity check. Yeah. See, Bowl After Bowl. Yeah, that's our Spencer. Boost Grand Ball. Splits Are Stupid. I don't know what show this is.
But, I want to hear it.
It's podcast index ID 6622590.
No idea. Have you heard Oystein's show?
No.
Let me see. I think he starts off by talking. I'm not sure. It's Mutton and Mead and Music. He starts off. He's cool.
Banjo.
That's Sir TJ. He's fun to listen to. He's fun when he talks. Let me see. Where is he?
Read My Vision. And the next one is a guy called
Dutch.
Myron.
He's Dutch.
With Watch the Road.
No, I think he's Scandinavian. Some Scandinavian country, I think.
Okay. He's got a little Dutch.
A little. It's great. I mean, he's really, really, really mellow. He's like, okay. And the next one is, he goes into some up-tempo song. It's fantastic.
Let's see, Homegrown Hits, Lightning Thrashes, yep. Phantom Power Music Hour, DJ V for V.
Yeah, that's Dirty Jersey Whore.
Dirty Jersey Whore, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Something called Helper Videos. Don't know what that is.
I don't know about that.
Developer Weekly. I think this may be just a regular show. It says a weekly show for developers and technologists that are interested in technology. I think this is just a regular show that they're
adding music in.
Throwing a split.
Nice.
Before the Schemes, Office Hours 2.0. Oh, that's Chris over at Jupiter Broadcasting. That's his show. Black Cat Music Podcast.
Now, are they putting music in, or is it remote item to a different show?
Let's see. Yeah. I think it must be remote item to a different show.
Because that's cool. I mean, this is all going to make so much sense.
Sats and Sounds, that's Kevin Bay.
Cool.
So there's a bunch of stuff in here. The Fairly Fun Show. Silas Vogt. James's show.
You got the Rolling On Show.
Rolling On. Let's see. Podcast. I don't see a Rolling On. What ID is it? You know the podcast ID is?
No, I have a GUID for you.
Yeah, just tell me character by character.
Yes. Okay. Ready? It's F2. It's
open curly brackets.
Hold on. It's in the signal. I think that's the. Okay. I think that's the GUID.
All right, I'll check it out. This is good. If somebody notices something in this endpoint that is missing, tell me, because that'll help me bug hunt.
Yeah, this is. I mean, people have to realize that this is a category of podcast that has never existed. It just hasn't existed. You weren't able to do this. Now, and this is what I discussed with Julie and Jim as well. We are going to have to come up with some kind of permission slip, call it a license, whatever you want it to be. So that, I mean, I know what's going to happen. Once we get on the radar, which is going to be years down the line, it'll take a while. I just know this stuff. It'll take a while. We'll get on the radar. ASCAP BMI is going to come knocking somewhere and say, hey, you're doing a performance of a song. You owe us money. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to say no, because I gave all the money to the artist. And they're going to go, hey, artist, give me the money. Oh, wait, give me the money so I can give it back to you or whatever. But I'm going to, you know, there's going to be a legal situation where I'm of the opinion that a podcast is not a performance as the performance, the royalty organizations view it, because they're, and well, I'll take that back. If I'm doing a live stream and I have 30 people or 300 or 3000 listening, yes, that's a performance of a piece of work. And something has to be figured out for that. There is ASCAP BMI licenses available for streams, but not for free form music shows. Oh no. And they have all kinds of rules, like, well, you have to have a server log, what songs played. You can't play more than two songs from one album back to back or in the same hour. It's all this bull crap, that is completely antithetical to radio. So that's going to be an issue, but I would go to court to say, because I've gone to court for Creative Commons and won. Well, I didn't win. I didn't win any money. I lost money because I had lawyers, but I won the case, which is precedent for Creative Commons. But you know, I'm creating a mechanical copy. You know, I am creating a derivative work, and I just need the permission from the publisher and the master owner from that. I know that it's implied by putting it up on Value for Value, but we're going to have some kind of permission in the feed, you know, something like that.
Okay, explain this to me, because this was a giant thread of back and forth between quite a few people on podcastindex.social, on PIS, P-I-S, mm-hmm. Podcast Index Social, this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell from, I think he's from Australia, runs a hosting platform down there. He was saying, you know, this is all horrible. You know, everybody's going to get their pants sued off. Just stop now, you know, and this, so, I mean, there is obviously concern here. Look, I'm from Alabama. I'm a simple guy.
Oh, but you're not going to pull the "I'm from Alabama" bit now all of a sudden, are you, Mr. Database? Okay, all right, simple guy. I'm from Alabama. I put everything in one table.
It's because I heard Gene Bean's lovely, North Georgia accent.
I'd love his accent. It's great.
So, Russell's
coming from, I think, a different place. I don't know Russell. He kind of showed up recently, I think, on PIS. Mm. I like his acronym. And I believe that he specifically does streams for radio stations. I can be wrong. I don't think he takes radio shows with music and turns them into podcasts. I could be wrong. From the streaming, now there is a specific carve out for radio stations. If you have an existing radio station, you can have an internet stream, and you can pay ASCAP BMI or whatever, you know, fill in your local performance royalty organization. And again, this may differ per country, so I'm not sure about Australia. This may also, I think it, in Australia, you may be able to have an online radio station. I don't know if that is, you have to have server logs. You have to track what you played. That I know for sure. That's how all of them operate. And you have to send that in and they're going to charge you an X amount. Some of them give you a blanket license. You can get this from Buma Stemra in the Netherlands, but you have to geolocate it. It's all kinds of hurdles. Believe me, nowhere in the world is there an actual license for doing a free form music show in a podcast. And the reason for that, in my opinion, is because the performing rights organizations know that they have no business licensing that, because the song is actually being incorporated. I'm not broadcasting it. I'm putting it on a server and I'm allowing people to make copies of it. So that would be the same as taking an MP3 and putting it on my server and say, hey, go ahead, copy this, everybody. Now, it would not be ASCAP BMI who would come and sue me. It would be the publisher, the label, the owners of the work, specifically the master and the publisher. So in this case, I'm not putting, it's new. I mean, this is something no one has done before because you need a lot of buy-in from different parties, and it's never going to work with, I know because I've tried for 2 decades. You're not going to get labels and publishers ever to buy in on this. Are you crazy? I want to charge 99 cents for each one of those, which of course that model is now dead. I also talked to Jim and Julie about that. I said, how much money did it make from people buying a track? Nothing. It's all streams. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. No one's buying music anymore. It's all you can eat. Remind me to tell you how that's not working in general either. I have a story about that. So this, and I think, the way, Russell's outfit works is he has to pay 20% of any income to the performing rights organization, which is, that's quite typical. A blanket license for a radio station could be a small percent. I think if it's a radio station, maybe it's 1, 2, 3%. It'll differ per country. And then you can play whatever you want. And there's still logs that are created more or less. I mean, I used to do it back in the day. I'd do my radio show in Holland. And after the show, we'd have to sit down and write down literal ASCAP BMI logs. Here's the song. Here's the track. Here's the... pen and paper. Oh, yeah. That's how we let fans in the studio. Hey, girls.
Hey, grab a pen.
Grab a pen. And give me some coffee, too, while you're at it. Not kidding.
Nice.
Because that was the worst. You hated doing that job. That was the worst part. Oh, no, I got to do my list. So the argument can be made that I am not brought... Forget streaming for a moment, because that is a specific problem. But just doing Boostergram Ball, not live, doing it, you know, creating derivative works from all these different songs. There is no mechanism for that other than physical derivative works, copies. You know, you have to get permission from all those individual. It's like doing, if you did a hip hop song with samples. You know, that, yeah. You know, you have to get permission from everybody. Everybody has to be, you know, there's a percentage. We divvy it all up and it goes into publishing, the writing, the composition, and the owner of the master. That's where that all goes into. So we need some explicit permission. We'll need it eventually just to cover all the bases.
So when you say, okay, I'm just trying to I'm trying to follow this chain of reasoning here, because I see Sir TJ. He obviously is the sole writer of his, let's just say he wrote a song on the banjo, recorded it, posted it on Wave Lake, or excuse me, on his blog.
Music Side Project.
Yeah. On Music Side Project. Like he's the sole creator and owner of this work in every shape, form, and fashion. There is no other parties involved. Why does there, and he posts it in a way that puts a value time split into the feed referencing his own website. Why do we need permission for, like, I don't understand why other organizations have any like input or voice in that at all.
That is law. That is actual law. The performing rights organizations have statutory legal rights to be the only organizations that can collect money from anybody who performs. It used to be sheet music as well, but who performs a song in public outside of your personal home. That's why restaurants, bars, even at work, if you have a, you know, you're playing music in the canteen, the mess hall, whatever, all of that, that you have to pay by law, you have to pay a performing rights organization for the right to do that.
So you're saying, okay, so you're saying that if I write a song and that I cannot go perform that and directly get money for that, it has to be brokered by law through a performing rights organization as a go-between between the audience and me, even if I wrote the song and there's no other stakeholders.
Say that again, just so I get it exactly right.
So I write a song and then I go and perform that song on my podcast and put a value time split in, put a value block in it so that people are paying me directly to listen to that song on my live show. It's all content that I wrote from scratch. You're saying that that's technically not legal because I by law am required to engage a third party performing rights organization to broker those transactions for
you. If you're a member of those performing rights organizations, yes, technically a license has to be, if it's a live performance, not a podcast, if it's a live stream or any type of performance in front of multiple people, not a podcast. That's why there's never been a license for it, because that's not their realm, because you're not performing it for multiple people all at one time.
This is so startling to me.
You're telling me.
Like my son's band, his metal band, you know, they mm-hmm. they played live at, you know, multiple shows and got a little bit of money for it. And so that was all technically illegal.
What do you mean? He was doing live streams? Is he an
asset? No. No, he's playing his music live at a show.
At a show, the venue has to pay for that.
But what's startling to me is that he's never been part of a label or any, I mean, it's just, there's just some guys in the garage that wrote some songs. They're not members of anything at all.
Okay. It's even this, if they were in a venue in a coffee shop and they play mm-hmm. a Taylor Swift song, that coffee shop better have a blanket license. Because,
No. I'm talking about they play their own songs right. that they wrote from scratch.
They're not ASCAP BMI members?
They're not members of anything.
Then there's no problem.
They're just some dudes.
Then there's no problem. They should be ASCAP. Most artists, it's not a big deal to become an ASCAP BMI member, because if it is played somewhere, if it does become a hit, you want that revenue coming in.
Okay, so I was misunderstanding you. I thought you were saying that by law, you had to be an ASCAP BMI member.
No, by law, the only outfits that are allowed to collect are at their sanction, ASCAP BMI. And by law, anyone who performs music in a public setting has to pay them. By law. That doesn't mean
music of a member of ASCAP BMI.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So this is why you have groceries. There's a big business, grocery stores, other, you know, there's just a big business in non ASCAP BMI music. Now, it sucks, a lot of it, but you mm-hmm. know, you can buy into music services and you don't have to pay that money, but you're still going to get hassled by those guys. They're going to be checking you all the time, make sure that something licensed didn't slip in, that kind of stuff. It's a mess. Yeah. It's elevator music. A good point, Harv Hat. Elevator music is often you can just buy into these services. I know people who have become pretty successful. It means, hey, you buy it on a monthly subscription, it's much cheaper than the ASCAP BMI. It can run into thousands for a restaurant or a bar.
So I'm going to, instead of like, so you're going to let me handle like the split, verification stuff. I'm just going to let you handle this kind of stuff. Cause I'm still, this is very confusing to me. I have no business even like having really any input on this. I want you to just tell us what to do and we'll do it.
Just like, carry on, carry on steady as she goes. The worst thing we can do is have long arguments on a social network about this, because that just, it's useless. I've been down this path for 20 years.
Yeah.
And that's what we did with the PodSafe Music Network. We created our own license outside of ASCAP BMI. Never got hassled, by the way. Never got hassled, specifically for podcasts. And you can do that. You can do that. You can get permit. I can go to Paul McCartney and say, I want to play this track by the Beatles. And I don't know if, I don't know if it's still Michael Jackson Publishing that owns the Beatles music. But I can get a license for, you know, under certain parameters to do that. It'll just be very expensive. But ASCAP BMI does not come into play there. There's plenty of special music projects that have been done where, you know, for a limited time, and then the episode has to go away after a while. Oh, yeah, that's totally possible. So I'm not too worried about it, but it's the perception, and you still want to have your artist ASCAP BMI. Because, you know, something's going to become a hit and then it's going to be played on radio, and you want the artist to have the joy of not receiving any money through that avenue.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah. Okay. So what we need, so it sounds like we need a license that can be adopted into the podcast license tag in the feed.
Yes. And it's none of what is in there is applicable.
Okay, so we need something akin to the PodSafe license, something of that of that ilk.
Yeah, and we'll get there. We don't. I'm not too worried about it right now. But what we don't need is long drawn out arguments over how we're all going to die, because it's just not true.
I would like to not have those anymore. Yes.
No, I left. I'm like, no, okay.
I've got an ISO for this, by the way.
Oh, you do?
From last week, because I don't think you played the ISO from last week.
Okay, which from last week?
There's only one, yeah.
Hold on, let me find it.
Oh, I threw a curveball at you, because I did not shoot you any clips today.
Fantastic!
That one?
Yeah.
Yeah, nailed it.
So, yeah. All right, well, I think that makes me feel better. That seems like a simple thing, because Music Side Project, Wavelake, they could put these in their UIs pretty easily. Of like, do you want to apply this license to your feed?
Yes, and there is one other thing I'm just going to disagree. And that's there's a general idea that. And there is, so if you record I looked at all the licensing. If you record someone else's song, a published song, someone else's work, you can indeed publish that song on an online service, and you pay an X amount of money. It's about $50, I think, for up to 500 downloads. Now, I don't know what kind of reporting everyone has, but I'm going to think that no one has that information. And if I play a licensed song that needs to have $50 per 500 downloads, and then I have, you know, 10,000 people listening to the show that song is in somewhere, someone's getting screwed one way or the other. So
I suggest using OP3. Because if you go with any of the Podcast Industrial Complex download calculations, you're going to be way overinflated.
Good point. I guess the point is I just want to stay away from it. So no, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think any of the people. People are going to want to see real stats if it comes down to that. So even if you're just putting it up on your own V4V, you know, I think that's something I'm not comfortable with. So yeah. Now will it possibly happen that someone record something that I have never heard of before, and it turns out that's owned by someone else. Yeah, that could happen. So I hope people just stay away from it. And I've seen some stuff here and there. It's like, okay, that's a cover. I know that song. Like, no, I'm not going to play that because I know that it's going to be more than 500 downloads. And yeah, you may have paid for 500, but what if I, you know, play this and it's 50,000, you know, someone's
where do we go and find this? Where do we go and get such a license written?
Oh, we can write that ourselves. That's not that hard.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not. Hey, you do database. I'll fix the license.
Okay. I'll do big table. You do big license.
Big table, big license. Perfect. Yeah. And it's not to be worried about. Really, it isn't. Because these performing rights organizations, they've never been able to go after everybody because it's not their wheelhouse. It's not a performance for a big audience. It's a copy that is copied many times, and I'm either pirating your music because, you know, you didn't allow me to do it, and I'm putting it in a like a mixtape, mm-hmm. or I have permission to do it. It has nothing to do with performing rights organization. But because it sounds like radio, people now, you know, like, oh, it's radio, you're going to get screwed. No.
Freaking out. Yeah, freaking no. out.
The live stuff, definitely a problem down the road.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I mean, if we have a license, we can throw that into we just throw that around the feed. We have a tag for that.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's what's going to be cool.
Oscar and Boomy, Oscar from Fountain and Boomy from Albie, they brought up on the GitHub a desire to have a different type
option
for the value recipient.
Yes.
And I wanted to bring this up on the show because it needs because ad developers need to be aware of this. So they currently the only type in the value recipient, the only option for the type parameter is Lightning, and the Lightning type expects the destination
to be key
address
sent.
To be a key send public key.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so they want to have another type that is something they said LNURLP, but I'd rather it not be that because that sounds like it's a full LNURL implementation, which this is not. So let's call it something like
a symlink.
Yeah. Let's call it well known or something. I don't know. So the way this is basically just a different type that says instead of the key, the value, the destination address of the split being a Lightning pub key, Lightning node pub key, it's going to be a URL that gets, it's going to be a Lightning address. So, and then the Lightning address will be the key send resolution method. So you would have something like dave@getalbi.com, which the app would turn into getalbi.com/.wellknown/keysend/dave. And then in that JSON that's resolved that way will be the destination address, custom key, custom value.
Right.
And so that's a thing that could be cached. You could look it up once, you know, every, you know, so many days or time or seconds or whatever the TTL is going to be on that. There could even be a TTL parameter in there. I'll put that into the, that's probably a good idea to have that. Or we can use the cache header or whatever, you know, it needs to be communicated somehow. You cache it for a certain amount of time. That way you're not having to do a URL address resolutions.
Right.
All the time. Anyway, I think it's fine. It's not LNURL.
Yeah,
that would be a nightmare.
Yeah, initially I thought it was a replacement. I didn't realize they wanted it optional. So I was like, my hackles went up. What? No. And I was like, oh, it's optional. Okay. Did they say what they wanted for?
So that's in case all of the in case the pub keys change. Mm. So if Albie went to a different node infrastructure and they required a pub key change, they wouldn't have to go and ask everybody that uses an Albie pub key to update their feed.
Got it.
So yeah, which makes sense. So I think we could, if that happens, we could assist with that by,
yeah, you can do a search and replace in the database.
Yeah. We can start handing it. Yeah. We could help facilitate changes like that. But, but it's a good idea. I think I'm fine with it.
So, but using it does add some overhead to apps that want to follow that.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. But if any apps see a problem with that, please go to that discussion on GitHub and give some feedback. Otherwise, we'll probably move pretty fast with this and throw this into the spec. And I will be vocal about it in the boardroom here to let everybody know that that is happening and you need to make an allowance for that. We'll try to keep everybody apprised of it because that's a spec that rarely changes.
Yeah.
Hardly ever. So.
But I want to thank whoever thought it was funny to sign me up for ads from betterhelp.com. Thanks.
this was a gift to you.
Yes. Hi, Adam. I hope you're doing well today. Just wanted to follow up on your sponsorship inquiry. Thank you for reaching out to BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a big advertiser. My name is Sam. I work for a company called Influence Logic to manage BetterHelp's affiliate podcast partnerships.
Cool.
If you're interested in discussing things further, I'd love to hear a bit more about your show and discuss how we can work together. Please provide a link to your show on Apple Podcasts and any other social media platforms you have. I want to ensure I'm grabbing the right show. My team and BetterHelp like to quickly review accounts to ensure everything is brand safe before we can proceed.
Oh, just send them a link to No Agenda. You'll never hear from them again.
I want to hear the rejection.
Yes. I love the emails to Podcast Index that start off with, hello, team.
Yeah.
There's no team
there's
here.
There's no team. Although I'm a little insulted. YouTube, I guess, after all those early invites, they never sent me a notice to come in and give them my RSS feed.
Got a follow-up?
No, but not even.
So surprising.
I thought that they would spam all the email addresses they had. I thought they would just, go reach out to all kinds of podcasters. I guess not.
They don't even know they have RSS. they don't know what they're doing. Right. This whole thing is a joke.
Well,
I had like four paragraphs of notes to talk about YouTube and I don't even want to do it.
No. The only thing I'll say is that supposedly YouTube has been talking to hosting companies about integrating, kind of the way, hey, remember how that worked with Spotify? Remember how that worked with Facebook, they'll do that. Yeah, that was a lot. You're wasting cycles, and I think YouTube wants to take your business. That's all I'll say. I think they want to take your business.
Not going to argue.
Yeah, I mean, Spotify, they want to take your business. They literally took it and gave everyone free stuff at Acast.
Yeah, remember when, remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the inevitable discrepancy that's going to cause some ripples within the advertising podcast industrial complex about Spotify's streaming metrics versus RSS download metrics.
Yeah,
this is about to get fun to watch because you're going to have RSS metrics showing a show with 25,000 downloads and Spotify showing it with 700.
Yeah,
this is gonna get fun.
Let's thank a few people. People have been boosting throughout the entire show, which we always love. Right. And going to kick it off with Stephen B. 5000 Sats. He says, "Let Eric N. know." Who's Eric N.?
Eric N.
Eric N.
I don't know.
"Let Eric N. know I'll be recording a tutorial video to demonstrate building a music show soon. Maybe this weekend." All right. Oh, there's Eric N. Oh, I see. Eric Eric N. boosted before that from Podverse, 5,000 sats. "You guys rock! You guys rock, man. Hopefully there can be a guide on how to do a music podcast soon. Thanks for the inspiration." Okay, there we go. That makes total sense. "Hey, Citizen 6969 says go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Erhead to 2112. Rush Boost splits are stupid, and helper videos are PeerTube channels I set up for testing the split kit integration for live and recorded videos configurable. Huh? Splits are stupid. All right.
Okay.
All right. All right. Message received. Chad F. 1000 sats. If I listen to Boostagram Ball live, I have the stream playing in Podverse and have the split kit open in the browser to boost the artist. Yeah, that does work. That does work, but it's not, it's, it kind of is not as handy as we'd like it to be. Podcast guru, Jason, 2222, Row of Ducks. We're about to put live splits in beta. Implementation is done on Android and iOS. Good. Talk about that. Anonymous, 2112, Rush Boost. Here's another thing to add to the helipad to-do list. Auto payments from PeerTube have been going out successfully at midnight GMT for a month now.
Hmm.
Okay. So, cool. Yeah. I mean, so the auto payments, is there a tag? Is there a TLV bit that we flip for auto payment? I think so, isn't there? I think there's something in the spec for that.
Yeah, there is. There's three different actions. There's a boost, stream, and auto.
Okay.
Yeah, auto is for automated, you know, payments that were not initiated by a human.
Ah, okay. Cool. Eric PP, it's on your list. 3333, I am Mr. Robot. I always get the best clips from Dave talking about the Bitcoin bros of Noster trying to reinvent RSS. Love these board meetings. Go podcasting. And there's Sam Sessi with his 10,000 sat boost from PodFans. Take three, sending a boost from PodFans. So there are probably two more to come. 1,000 another from
got it.
Chad F. Yes. Just hearing the word Noster irritates me, says Chad F.
It's okay, Chad.
Saints,
it's
okay. Saints and Sats with a row of ducks, 2222. Anti-war boost. Wait, that was no agenda. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're mixing the streams.
I'm sorry. I crossed the stream. Didn't mean to do that. Here's Mustafa with 100 sat test boost. Gotcha. We got Mr. Robot again, 2222. I hear more Bitcoin podcasts in Austin talking about Noster rather than figuring out all the advancement in podcasting 2.0. It's quite sad and very Bitcoin bros, rinse and repeat. Yeah, well, it's what it is. They're all excited. They're excited about other stuff. Ooh, nice big row of ducks. This is 22,222 from Mike Dell. YouTube podcast dumpster fire boost. Go open podcasting. That's funny. 4,111 from a Chris you know. I'd still love to make a playlist of V4V songs that I can send to friends and family for them to listen to in a modern podcast app. Is the best way to do this currently the split kit and making my own feed for the playlist? I think so. Or you could,
say it again.
Well, he says, I'd still love to make a playlist of V4V songs that I can send to friends and family for them to listen to with a modern podcast app. Is the best way to do this currently the split kit and making my own feed for the playlist? Well, there's a couple ways you can do it, really. But yeah, I think it would want, I mean, you could have... wow. You could have a feed, which is all your playlists, and then an item could be a whole bunch of remote items. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so you could have multiple playlists that way.
Yeah. Or OPML, which it's messier. It's going to import all the feeds as if they're separate RSS feeds.
I'm sure the Stephen B. Emporium of apps will have a playlist creator for you very soon.
It's called lnplaylist.com or something.
Yeah. It's going to be there. Yes. Yeah. It's going to be there. And it'll have the appropriate medium equals music L, I think. Isn't that it?
LNmix.com is what it's going to be. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. The music L. Music L.
Yes. E-Podcaster 16,000. Love me some podcasting 2.0 goodness on a Friday afternoon. 16,000 sats to mark the 16th annual National Podcast Post Month, a.k.a. N.A. Podpomo. Not Podpomo. The original November 30-day podcast challenge. Napodpomo.org. I had no idea this exists. Napodpomo. Okay. There's Dave Jackson with 100 sats from PodFans. Good. That worked. And there's Sam Sethi. Oh, okay. Sam Sethi. hanging out, pre-boosting from Italy, drinking Barolo and truffle hunting. 101010 and 10 seconds. There he is.
Sakala, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
And
see, that's a man who's confident in his boosts, is what that is.
Eric PP has like a bowler donation somehow. This is got a whole bunch of bowling balls. Yes, a very confident man. And that comes from Pod Fans.
Yeah, well, you don't throw out a 6-figure boost and boast about your wine. Unless you're bold and have confidence in your boostability.
Now, here's what's cool: his Pod Fans is so great. He sent the exact same boostagram twice with the same amount.
Sakala, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
We love that double booster. That double Pod Fans double boosting. We love that.
I held the button down a little too long.
Love it, man. Thank you. Dreb Scott with a 15,100 sat boost. Thank you, Dreb. And let me see. I think that is, that's what we have for the pre-boost. What do you got on your list? Oh, we got one more. Yep. This is interesting. This came in with nothing. Oh, that's weird. What is this? This is... Boost CLI. Okay. That doesn't even say what that's for. Hmm. Wow. That's weird. Feed ID. Okay. Well, I don't think that's for us.
Mike Dell sent us a picture that I sent to you through Signal.
Oh, the dumpster fire. I saw it. That's funny.
Dave Jackson not only sent us a boost, but he also sent us a $50 PayPal.
Oh, thanks, brother. That's so kind.
Yeah. From the School of Podcasting.
Very
Thank
nice.
You, Dave.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. And we got, let's see, Kevin Bay, the aforementioned Kevin Bay from the DJ Music Shows. He sent $6 and he says, I missed the monthly donation from the endowment fund because I was in Italy. Oh, it was, were you truffle hunting with wine?
With Sam Sethi?
Yes. Here's September's and October's Lunga Vita al Podcasting.
Okay, very nice.
Did you like my Italian?
Very good. Yeah, I love you. Your Italian is rocking and rolling.
Franco just got he just fell over in his out of his chair.
I'm sure.
Let's see. Yaron Rosenstein sent us $1, and that's a subscription, a new subscription.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Yaron. Appreciate it. And for all the people like the Israel stuff, we've been talking to Brian. He's fine. He's doing okay.
Yeah,
he's safe.
We've had a little group. We've been back and forth. Yeah. He's definitely not a happy camper, but he's safe.
Not happy, but safe. Yeah. We got,
although he did, he did post something about Hive the other day. I'm like, oh, okay, he's doing better now.
That's how you know. So my daughter, my youngest daughter, we used to judge how good she felt by how many cinnamon rolls she could eat. So like if she was feeling real puny, she may not eat any, or she may eat one when she's feeling like fantastic on top of the world. I mean, she could put, this is like, she's 4 years old.
That's
she could
funny.
Pound, she could put away 4 cinnamon rolls.
Wait, you're feeding your 4-year old cinnamon rolls.
Well, I mean,
it's Alabama. Yeah, I get it. It's Alabama. Okay.
Yeah sure. We got to get diabetes started early. And so like this is how you judge whether Brian's okay. Is how many Hive mentions.
Yes.
Oh, he's good. He's good.
He's doing okay.
Sir Libra from Lightning Thrashes sent us 33 podcast index. I heard it on a podcast.
Yeah, that was fun.
Please get this artist in touch with Booberry. It's great. Thunderroad.media. Okay.
I have not heard back.
Let's see. We got Lightning TNG Store. Oh, that's Sam Means.
Hello, Sam.
Sent us 1234 through Fountain. And he's give some emojis, some lightning love.
Oh, thank you, Sam. You.
Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast, 2222 through Fountain. He says, V for V, RSS and BTC are all I need. Love.
Woo. He's a poet. He's a poet, ladies and gentlemen.
That's going to be some lyrics, too. It's BTC and V for V are all I need. Yeah.
Okay.
ASCAP BMI would never come to demand money for songs that I write.
Boost. No, probably not.
Anonymous, 5,000 sats through podcast index. Is it really fair to say big tech returns no value to creators? I see lots of self-described non-techie YouTubers in the how-to DIY category, upgrading tools, shops, even quitting their day jobs. Hate to defend big tech, But there is value in making something so easy that a caveman can do it.
Oh, sure. Have you seen the same people when the algo screws them or when they get demonetized or deplatformed, how sad they are after they've quit their day job?
I don't think anybody ever said, I don't think we said that big tech returns no value to creators. I think what we're saying, I echo James's thing that he said, yeah. Big tech lets you keep a little bit of the value from the content yes. that you made.
That's right. Yes. That's, give us all your creativity and here's nothing, maybe a pittance.
Yeah, yeah. You give us all the value. There you let us monetize your show. And if you monetize it enough, we'll let you keep a little bit.
I mean, here's the difference. This is big tech and this is us.
Boost!
I mean, which one do you want to be a part of? You tell me.
B. Mozzie, 3333 through Fountain. He says, glad to hear the update from the discussion with the guys at Wave Lake. Yep. Good discussion. Adam Curry, 1500 sats, boosting into the chapters. Well, that's you, man.
Yeah. That was my test. Yes. I did it. Yeah. It's self-boosting. It feels good.
Kevin Bay, 20,000 sats through Podverse. Woo, got nice. My first two boostergrams on my music show, Sats and Sounds. Mm. So I'm paying it forward. It wouldn't be possible without that magic wallet switching technology.
Yoo-hoo! Nice.
Oh.
Cool, Kevin.
Lone Yank. Okay. Lone I don't Yank. Know who this is. A new
Lone Yank.
22222, Big Roadux. He says, thanks for everything you guys do. Wow. I listen to all my podcasts while I'm driving, so Podcast Addict is my go-to, as their Android Auto app is great, but no boosting. I'm sure some would consider it unsafe, but if these app developers could build out more Android Auto apps, particularly with boosting, I'd be a happy guy and would be boosting a lot more in the morning. And KTLD, yes, Paul Hearn, KTLD. Chesterfield, Virginia.
Yes, I recognize the name. Podverse just added Android Auto. Give that a whirl.
Yeah. Yep. 33 over 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sets.
True.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
This is a good story.
Through Breeze, so I'm sure the bat signal, the red light started spinning in Roy's basement when this boost went out. Adam and Dave, 2.0 rocks. Advertising don't work. Up talking works. This is 31. This is 31-ish% of the 4 million sats that JCD refused.
That's right. Okay. He emailed me. He said, "Hey man, can I send you 4 million sats?" I'm like, brother, I would love it, but you know, this has failed so miserably. What was the company I was working with?
They never, Ibex.
Yeah, the Ibex never got it together with the key send. Yeah. They couldn't get it together. And then, you know, they switched and you had to get an account with Swan Bitcoin. And in Texas, I can't have a Bitcoin to fiat account that is with Swan because Swan doesn't have a license currently in Texas for some reason.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So all kinds of stuff like that.
That's great.
And then, you know, what we did get from on No Agenda was I think we got maybe in a course of a month, maybe 8 donations. And, you know, then it just went away.
Cool.
No, it's not cool. It's not so. But so, you know, I mean, when you boost No Agenda, it goes to a whole bunch of other people. Artists, yeah. It goes to, you know, Dreb Scott, it goes to Jeff Smith. I mean, it goes to a whole bunch of places. So you are helping podcasting 2.0 when you boost No Agenda. It just doesn't help No Agenda.
It just doesn't go to you.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Yeah. It's what like it YouTube.
Is. Yeah. Exactly. I'm getting in the mood for our YouTube show.
Yeah. Comic strip blogger, Delimiter, 3015 through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Please invite your listeners to visit my cartoon blog at www.csb.lol and ask your listeners to follow me on Twitter/X at CSB. Just 3 letters, C, S, and B. Then I'll follow back and answer all questions. Yo, CSB.
Comic strip blogger. Probably one of the oldest jingles I have.
We got some monthlies. We got a few. We got Trevor Zenor, $5. Thank you, Trevor. Oh wait, we only have two. Okay. Jeremy Gerrits, $5. The one that I thought was a third was actually a cancel subscription for $11.
So, oops. Okay. No, two. Oops. We got two.
All right. That's it.
Those are the two. Oh, okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Got it. All right. Nothing on the tally coin, but thank you all very much for supporting podcasting 2.0, supporting the index, supporting the podcast, supporting the work, supporting the machines, supporting the tables. Everything that we do here, and you can go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom of that page, you can find two red buttons. One for your fiat fund coupons. We obviously accept PayPal. You can click on that. The other one is for Tally Coin, which if you have some Bitcoin, it's one of those things like, yeah, you can send us on-chain Bitcoin, big amounts, whatever you want, and it doesn't really happen. Dreb Scott.
Tally-ho.
But we prefer that you get a modern podcast app, podcastapps.com, and boost away. We really appreciate it. It's value for value. Everything we have goes right back into the project, and it keeps us running in case everyone falls down and we go into some the only thing we're not, well, I guess we have all the sats stay on the node, but if we get hyperinflation, then the PayPal money's not going to matter. So hopefully the Bitcoin will be our saving grace. Well, we hit 30.
Linode does take Bitcoin.
Oh yeah. That's cool.
They don't take Lightning, but we can chain.
Yeah, we can lose some sats in the submarine swap.
Daniel J. Lewis said, CSB blocked me on Twitter.
Okay.
Well, that's the boost was a lie.
What? Why would he do that? That doesn't sound like comic strip blogger. He doesn't block people. You block me. Don't block me. All right, anything else?
Good board meeting.
I got through my list. Oh yeah, the music industry stuff. I can tell. I'll talk about that on the next show.
Yeah, I got two things on my list that I want to talk about next show. We can punt.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone who's been listening. Thank you for your live attendance at the board meeting there in the chat room. We appreciate everyone boosting in live. And of course, thank everybody who has been a part of this magical project. You know who you are. Thank you for being here for the board meeting. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next Friday with another episode and edition of the Podcasting 2.0 board meeting. See you then. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Podcasts are cool.
Fantastic.